Welcome to Suprataati's Parshas Shmini. A few stories to begin with. The first story about the Briska Rav is that there's a medrash in Kolas Rabbah, Ein Bala to Ein of Bala Laki to Ein of Adshe Shev Shilu. So nobody's going to go pick unripe figs. That's the idea. It says, so Tuva Kadosh Baruch Hu isn't going to take tzaddikim from the world until they're mashed in the tafkid, meaning you finish their. Accomplish their purpose in the world, and obviously we all have existential purposes. So one of the locals went up to the Briska Rav and said, you know, I have an eitzah here. It's just simply bum around and you can live to Arichus Yomim. And you'll be able to, so long as you don't, you know, do what you're supposed to do, says back the Briska Rav, when you live a life that isn't doing Ratzon Hashem, that isn't life at all. And if that's so, there is no difference in between biological death and spiritual death or constructive death. So that's the story, a similar story about Rav Yisachar Dov Mibelz. One of the Hasidim asked him, said, well, there's a Yehi Ratzon, you say before Tehillim, and you say, a Nusach that says, Kedei Lamalos Shno Seinu Bahem Shivim Shana. So we can live 70 years. He said, well, pardon me, but can the Rebbe answer me? You're already over 70 years old. This doesn't sound good for you. So the Belzer Rebbe answered, how do you know what it means when it says lechayos, to live? How do you know that I've lived those full 70 years? Meaning, again, there's a difference between biological life and existential, spiritual life. Great story about... the Menal of Slobodka, Rav Moshe Tekachinsky, he was telling a story about when he was with his Rebbe, Rav Avraham Grzinski, and in a certain place, and Rav Grzinski and an elder, just an old man, were both leaving the building, and Rav Avraham gave the old man the kavod. Said, you first. But the old man said, no. What are you telling me? Why does it matter that I'm old, right? And why do you think that I'm more chashuv than you just because I'm old, right? Because I ate more bread during my life than you? So without missing a beat, it seems, Rav Avraham said, no. It's not that that gets you the kavod. It's that... when a Jew understands what life is about, like you, who understands that life is not about eating bread and butter, rather it's a life of Torah, and you have your priorities straight so much as you want to be mechabed me, that is the kind of zaken that who deserves a ton of respect and kavod. Next is a story about Rav Yisrael Salanter, which came to me this week. And this story is about Rav Yisrael Salanter had some sort of meeting with somebody. And in the middle of the meeting, he let out a sigh. And, you know, there were people with him who had noticed. So at the end of the meeting, they asked him, said, Rebbe, do you mind telling us what was the deal with this audible sigh? It's not your usual thing. And he said, look, I was meeting with some hush of a person, and I saw that my clothes were a little bit, there was a little bit of a stain on them. And I was just upset. So you would have thought, oh, you know, I wanted to look good or whatever. But that wasn't it at all. It was really Yisrael Salanter said. And then I thought to myself, I'm going to get to the Olam Emes, and my neshama is going to be presented to the Bari Olam with everything on it. And I'm going to need to make sure everything is clean. So he took a kal vachomer from his clothing, which is obviously very very telling where his mind was and what he was thinking about. Last is a story about Rav Chaim Ozer Grzinski. A really, really magical story is that during I think it was wartime, this story is told that one of the yeshiva bachrim were coming to him Rafa here on Yavamas, and as the story goes, The fahir wasn't exactly as expected. There were three questions, the Bachar recalled. First question was, how long has it been since you've heard from your family? And the Bachar answered. And the second question was, well, do you have a blanket? Now, bear in mind that in yeshiva, they were living in abject poverty. Not everybody had blankets. Many of them were sleeping on the benches of the Beis Medrash. And this particular Bachar was happy because he said, no, I'm good. You know, I'm not freezing to death like some of the others. I have a blanket. And the third one is, show me your shoes. So the Bachar then sheepishly showed him his shoes, which were at a point where they were beyond repair. Chaim Eiser gave him some money and said, go buy yourself some shoes right now. And the fahir was concluded. So this is just an idea that you can see over and over and over again. The Gedol Yisrael were normal. They were considering very, very day-to-day normal things for the normal life of other people. And they were extraordinarily concerned with just the most minor details of the lives of the people around them. So now we have a Rebbeir Simcha. Yishma Moshe v'tav beinav, Moshe heard, and it was good. So B'derech Klal, Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who spoke, and he was the one who taught, and everybody listened to him. This particular instance, Moshe Rabbeinu had the opportunity, really his first opportunity, to hear Divrei Torah from somebody else. Yishma Moshe, he heard, v'tav beinav, it was good. It was so good for him. See how good it was to learn Torah from others. This is a nice way to maybe bring your children to have the courage to share thoughts at your Shabbos table. I'll tell you, I have children who are, by all respects, a bar hachi, and do not shy away at the opportunity to share Divrei Torah outside of the house, but somehow they're a little bit hesitant to do so at home. So it's just an idea, like how much nachas it is to hear from somebody else. So the job of a good super tati is, of course, to inspire other people to share as well. Next, a beautiful kutzker. So the kli cheres, Rashi explains, is metame only be'ovir in its insides, but not a gabov. So the Kutzker says, cheres itself, it doesn't have any chashivus. It doesn't have any importance. It's just what's on the inside. And that's where its value comes, is this base kibul, or the receptacle space, where it is. So it will only receive tuma from that base kibul, the place where it's choshev. So too, says the Kutzker, a person who is from Ofer, they're like cheres. Remember, we say from the Nusach HaTfila, all of their chashivus is just the pimius, what's inside of them, and not what is on the outside. Generally speaking, we know by Aaron, Krav al Mizbeach, right? Krav al Mizbeach, he's told to go there, and the long Ramban, he saw a Tavdis Shashor, he saw the Cheda Egel. This is reference to Aleph, David HaMelech says, I'm always thinking about my Averus. And the Chazal tells us the story. He has to be encouraged. He says, Lama Tabosh, why are you embarrassed? Go and be approach the Mizbeach, Ki Lekach No Tzarta. Right? So the problem is we have a pronoun antecedent problem in that what does lakach mean? What is the word lakach for this you were referring? So I'll give you three mahalchim. One is from Rav Chaim Volozhiner. Rav Chaim Volozhiner says, you were chosen because of your Yerushalayim and your Yerushalayim. Means specifically, Aaron HaKohen was a barhachi to do avoda because he had the Yerushalayim to think about his averos. That alone is a great mahalah. Another mahalach is the busha itself. The busha, the embarrassment, the shame, means that this person had a conscience, they had ethics and values, and that is of extraordinary import, not only for spiritual leadership, but all sorts of leadership. And the third one is the one that I am fond of mentioning, is that since this was his tafkid, we were talking about how everybody has a tafkid before, specifically the Yitzir Hara often will tell us that it will push down very, very hard. Don't do something specifically when you're getting close to fulfilling your tafkid. And indeed, when it says lakach notzarta, it's the fact you were created for this. So those are three different mahalchim with Rav Elhamizbeah. So a very clever meshach chochma. We learn that there's supposed to be a sir izim, according to Torah's Kohanim. This is a kapara, an atonement, for the sale of Yosef. So the Meshech Chochmah asks a very clever question. He says, look, why did we need to wait so long to get a kapara from Kiras Yosef? Right? Why did we have to wait up until now? Right? So what was the answer? So look, Klal Yisrael, and the brothers specifically, they did tirutz, why they sold Yosef, right? Because Yosef should have brought his claims. Before he brought his claims, he should have given them tochacha, right? He should have not gone to his father first. So all those years since the brothers would have had a excuse for their behavior, the chait of Mechiras Yosef was not a ikuv or a michshol for them. But now, after Hur was killed, because he gave a tochacha, there was no longer a really good claim to say that Yosef should have given a tochacha, because now we see that tochacha wouldn't have worked. So now there needs to be a kapara, says the Meshech. Next, Chassam Sofer, there's a Vayikra Rabbah that gives three reasons why none of an of you passed away. First one is they were Mori Halacha, they taught a Halacha in front of Moshe. Second one is that they were inebriated. And the third one is that they didn't get married. Says the Chassam Sofer, they're all really just one Tom. A person who doesn't marry, they are not having children. And it's hard for them to understand intellectually then what kavod av means and kavachomer, ben benoshal kavachomer, to understand kavod shamayim, right? This is like the Sefer HaChinuch that says that we learn a lot of Hakar Satov and everything from the parent-child relationship. So after a person has a household, they have the ability to understand what really kavod is. So with that kavod, you hope that your children kind of go in that direction. And when they don't, a person learns how much they need to give kavod to their parents and their Ribbono Shel Olam, and of course, their Rebbeim too. And not only that, the ikur, he says, of the issue with Nadavan Avihu, they didn't build a household, they didn't get married, they didn't have children. Now, they didn't understand how to do kavod, and because of this, they didn't understand what it meant to be mezalzel, the kavod of their Rebbe, so Mor Halacha in front of Moshe Rabbeinu. And not only that, but then they were willing to go lifnai v'lifnim and not give so much kavod to Kavod Shamayim as well. So we could see that everybody should have been making these kavachomers, and they were not made because there was a zilzul not only to the home, but also a zilzul to the Rebbe and a zilzul to the Ribbono Shel Olam.